You are listening to Know You're Crazy. My name is Susan Dene. We all have crazy. What separates us is how we choose to deal with it. I'm going to be delivering engaging and actionable tools to own your crazy, treat your crazy, and turn it into your own superpower. I hope that you walk away from this show feeling the power and strength within you. And never forget to enjoy your journey because you are worth it. Hey everyone, welcome to the Know You're Crazy show. My name is Susan Dene and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. And I am excited for today's show. It has been a week filled with phone calls about relationships, behaviors of others, what to do about it. How does that affect me? These are some of the calls that I've been taking from clients this week. Therefore, the inspiration to talk about what happens when we become addicted to the relationships in our life. If you've been watching me for a while, then you know that I'm 22 years clean and sober. Addiction is in my energy flow, the recovery side of it, primarily, unless I'm helping with somebody who's still suffering from getting sober. But the world of addiction is very comfortable for me. It's taken a while to get there, but it's a very comfortable place for me to be. And therefore, I can speak on topics like this in a way in which I kind of filter everything through about the impulses that we may experience or the triggers that we may experience in certain areas of our lives. And so for today, the topic is being addicted to the relationships in our life. So are some of your relationships more emotionally triggering than others? What happens when you are married to them? Or they are your children? What about your employer or your clients or your parents? Why do we continue to participate in relationships that seem to cause more uncomfortableness than comfortableness? Well, what if you considered that maybe you are addicted to them and the energy that you are exchanging with them? When you are participating emotionally with them, it's actually a pattern of emotional addiction in a way. See if you can hang in there with me as I continue on this. Being afflicted with stress when it comes to some relationships can be as solvable as identifying the trigger and then learning how to separate yourself from it and not necessarily them. So if you've ever considered this, this would show up for you in relationships that are somewhat, troubling. They're just troubling relationships. I like to describe it as sometimes it just takes a bit and you have to consistently put your best foot forward. And that can feel daunting. It can feel tiring. It can feel fraudulent, always trying to put on a particular face, a demeanor, an attitude, a sense of energy around this individual. Sometimes it ebbs and flows. Sometimes with this person, it might be fantastic. Other times it's just miserable, probably more on the, and I will say miserable side. And when I say miserable, I'm not talking about the land of abuse. Okay. We're going to table that for something completely different than what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about are the day-to-day relationships or month-to-month or lifetime relationships, you know, the blood relatives that we have that likely you're not going to, you know, they're not going to go away. There are some situations where they do need to go away. But these relationships that really, they feel like a lot of work for you. Being someone who has done a lot of work around relationships in particular, I can appreciate when you get tired of that work or when you are suddenly asking, or it'll feel like suddenly, but you've probably been asking yourself for a while, why do I continue to show up when this continues to happen? And if we have that dialogue with ourselves for too long of a period, what can happen is we can fall into this victim mentality that somehow we're not responsible for showing up. Somehow we're not responsible for showing up. Oh, I just felt I just felt the drive come in, the inspiration come in. That just hit me. When you become responsible for your emotional behaviors within a relationship, that relationship is going to improve with or without you even knowing it. Because once you take responsibility for your emotional behavior within a troubling relationship, you begin to shift the energy. You begin to take another perspective on that relationship. What do we do when we decide to change? I mean, honestly, like, not even what do we do? When is it that we decide to change in the most challenging of situations in relationships? Just think about it. When is it? It's when the pain has become too much. It's when we're dragging ass. We're like, I can't do this no more. I just want to surrender. It's hopeless. It's when we reach that point. You know what that point's called, folks? That's called like rock bottom. Rock bottom. Rock bottom, if we really do a good job of hitting it hard, is the one time when we will maybe awaken that there's got to be another way. And that is why I am talking about being addictive to relationships in your life. That's where the addiction piece comes into it, because you have compulsively shown up in one particular way, now albeit doing the best that you can based on the circumstances. You've been in tunnel vision world. You have been participating, and the blinders have kind of been on. But it's been the best that you had. And then suddenly you're tired of not seeing the light at the end of that tunnel. And the situation and the story has changed, that they're the ones that need to change. They're the ones not doing the work. How could they behave? And as soon as that story's been changing and you're still showing up and you're still feeling miserable, my friends, that is where the word addiction comes in. Because we will continue to show up when we don't want to. We will continue to use drugs when we don't want to. We will continue to eat when we don't want to. We will continue to shop when we know better. That is addiction. It's when we continue in the same behaviors, even though we don't want to be there anymore. So how does this happen within your relationships? Well, that's a big topic, and we've probably got about 50 minutes to talk about it. So that's what I'm going to do today. Couple signs that you might be addicted to a relationship. That's the next avenue I'm going to cover here. Couple signs that you might be addicted to a relationship that's no longer serving you. Number one, you have become presumptuous in thinking you know what they're going to say and when they're going to say it. In fact, you decided for you both, for them mainly, that you know exactly how they're going to respond. Now, you might have some familiarity with their behaviors. There might be some common sense, things that come up with them and how they show up, and you might be feeling pretty confident, like, you know what, Susan? No, I'm pretty sure that they're crazy. I'm pretty sure that's not my imagination. I'm pretty sure. But let me ask you, if you're so sure and it is so miserable, why do you continue to show up? The presumptions that you're making about that individual, the presumptions of the relationship, and the fact that you think you know how it's going to play out is where your crazy is sitting for a moment. And when we go there too much, what happens is we end up denying the opportunity to give benefit of the doubt to the relationships in our life. And if we are always, or we are consistently, not always, but if we consistently practice quietly criticizing and quietly assuming that we think we know how this person's going to show up, then we are not ever going to be giving them the benefit of the doubt. Have you ever had somebody who just felt like when you walked in the room, they criticized you? You could read it on their face, or you were just waiting for them to tell you what you didn't do right. Or you're just waiting for them just to say, do it this way, my way's better. Or they're going to start asking you a bunch of questions about something. Have you ever had anybody in your life like that? Because sometimes if you're that person who's doing the questioning, for example, and this is right in there with what I'm talking about. Sometimes what has happened is we've become so presumptuous that we think we know how somebody's behavior is going to be, and we have convinced ourselves that we are right in that. Then now we lack the ability to ever give them benefit of the doubt. And if you've ever had, to finish this thought, if you've ever had someone in your life who does not give you benefit of the doubt, you know what it's like to be on the receiving end of that. It just feels real bad, doesn't it? It doesn't feel supportive. It doesn't feel encouraging. It's criticizing. And that is not a good way to feel in a relationship of any sort. With any of those examples I gave at the beginning when I first started talking about this, whether that's your clients, whether that's your boss, whether that's your husband, your wife, your kids, your best friend, an acquaintance, maybe somebody you run into often, if that's the energy being put out there, then you already know that that's a crappy relationship. That's a crappy feeling. I don't want to be part of it. But how do I get out of this cycle? Why do I continue to show up? So that's one of the triggers that you may have, or one of the things that's going to be pointing you to the point where I might have a problem in this particular relationship because I'm presumptuous to the point of thinking I know. And because of those presumptions that I'm making onto this other person, I have now placed myself in a position of being unable to ever give them benefit of the doubt, which means as soon as I show up in this relationship, I'm critical, I'm judgmental. And folks, you feel energy, don't you? You feel energy. You know when you're standing in the room with somebody who's intense, you know what that feels like. And you know what it feels like when you're standing in the room with somebody who's full of joy. You know the difference. My question for you is, if you've become addicted to a relationship in your life, what do you think your energy's like when you walk in the room? Don't know. And on that point, I want you to think about what relationships are you thinking of right now when I'm talking about this? Who's coming to mind for you? Who is coming to mind for you? You know, there might be one or two people that stand out, or maybe you're in a great place right now, and nobody comes to mind. And if that's the case, I'm super excited for you. I think I've got, I might have one or two that pop up. But on the significance level, it's not much, right? Like there's not a lot of power going there. I don't think I've hit the land of presumptions on them yet. But I've been there. I've been there many times in my life where I have done this and I've had to walk through it, which is another reason why I just love this topic today. So you identify the relationships that are, this is going on within you when you're participating in it. And you ask yourself, have I become presumptuous? Have I been judging them so much that I now don't even know how to give them benefit of the doubt? I have made decisions about them that really they don't have a chance in hell of overcoming because I've already decided that's just who they are. That's just who they are. I was working with a woman one time and she was it was in recovery from alcoholism, and she was working in a dentist office. And she was probably within the first year of sobriety. And for anybody who's been in the first year of sobriety, it's pretty much like just hang the hell on because it's super painful. And if you haven't had to get sober, but you've gone through a major life transition, there's like this period of time that's just really painful. You have to hang on because you are literally shedding old skins and adopting new beliefs all at the same time. And it's just, you kind of want to crawl out of your skin. It's not that fun. So she's in that first year of sobriety. She works for a dental office and she has a receptionist who works with her who just, she can't stand her, can't stand her at all. She walks into the office. The first thing she sees is this woman and she's immediately resentful, immediately. This woman doesn't follow rules. She doesn't answer the phone in the right way. No matter how many times I tell her what to do, she doesn't do it right. She never takes notes. You know, I don't think she's all the way there. I think she's missing some marbles, if you know what I mean. I mean, all these things, this was the story that she had created. So in an attempt to help her with this, after doing a couple of things with her, I said, what if you brought her a coffee in the morning? And I still can see her face when I said this to her. It was like she wanted to stab my eyes out. And she's like, no, I'm not buying that woman anything. I'm not buying her a coffee at all. And then I continued to ask probe a little bit about how well she knew this woman, about what might be going on in her life. And the reason I was probing her like that, and the reason I was asking those questions, is because I knew she had blocked herself off from any type of solution in this relationship. Now, did she need a solution? No, she could quit the job. She could go to work and fight with the person, and she could continue to go to work and have contention and have this negative energy just spewing all over the place because, the lady's feeling it and she's feeling it, and maybe the lady feels it towards her. I don't know. But you can continue to do that. You're more than welcome to just c'est la vie, just do what you got to do. Or you can take a little bit of responsibility and look at yourself and say, what is a new way of looking at this? So that if I have a person at work or I have someone that's under my roof that I live with, that their behavior is absolutely driving me nuts, that I can maybe somehow gain a new perspective to look at it differently. So, who do you have in your life that maybe that may triggers you like that or has triggered you in the past? When we're looking at relationships and we're trying to make a decision about how do I feel? Because sometimes how you feel is a decision. I would love to say that it's just a feeling, but our emotions come after our thoughts. Okay, so we've been thinking and perceiving for one way for a while in a certain way, and then we develop an emotion about that, right? And then we might develop a physiological response to that emotion. And so there's all these things going on with our own pattern of behavior and the own and our own way in which we look at things. Sometimes we become so engrossed in the role that we play in that person's life. This necessarily isn't a negative thing per se, but sometimes it's nice to remind yourself, what is my role in this relationship? For example, how many of you have had therapist, mental health therapist? And how many of you actually went out and hung out with your therapist? I'm just taking a stab here. Probably not many of you. Maybe one or two. I don't know. I never had coffee and hung out with my therapist over the years. There's a role definition there. There's a agreement of sorts that is made with what this relationship is. Sometimes when a relationship's role changes, and one is going from maybe mentor to just a friend, or within the professional world, this is when somebody is entry level and then they get promoted, but yet everybody around them stays the same. So the role has changed. Think about what your role is in these relationships. If you're a parent, what is your role in that relationship? How does a parent show up? Often, when we get convoluted or we become at ill with somebody else's behavior or they're not doing it well enough for us, sometimes we have forgotten what the role is that we are playing in that relationship. And for example, I was recently talking to a woman and a conflict with a child. And I just said, remember, you're the mama. This was an adult child. But I said, remember, you're the mama. Just remember, you're the mama. And the reason I said that was because with our adult children, sometimes we become eager for the relationship to the and we lose that, we maybe we want to be their friend, or maybe they're not calling us enough, or sometimes there can be an energy of desperation for this relationship. And if the adult child, which is still the child in the relationship, if you look at the roles, pretty sure the child is still seeing the role as the child, right? I mean, it's mom and kid, or dad and kid, or whatever, is still seeing them as the parent. So if the parent is now becoming needy and more like a child role, well, there can be conflict. Reminding the parent that, hey, you're the mama. Hey, you're the father. Hey, you've been doing this longer than they have, can kind of start breaking down the emotional walls that have been built up when that parent, the adult parent, is now criticizing the child, adult child, and just reminding that they've been down this road a little bit longer than the child has, right? And to now, why is that important? Because now we can begin to give benefit of the doubt to the child. Like, oh, they just haven't been here before. Oh, that's right. I'm really the older adult, if that's the way we would like to say it. Is the child now an adult? Yeah, but they're usually like, training wheel adults. And if your adult child is like 30 or 40 and they still got some issues and there's nothing really mentally wrong with them, well, that might be a whole other show. Okay. But we're just going to stay with the roles. Reminding yourself what your role is in the relationship. If the roles have shifted and now this relationship is becoming troublesome for you, now you get to ask yourself a whole new set of questions. Why is this bothering me? What am I having trouble letting go of? What is it about this relationship with them that I really need to take a look at? What I'm advocating for you right now is once you've identified, one, what the relationships are that are troubling to you, the next step is to ask yourself, what is my role in this relationship? Hopefully, the best relationships that we really enjoy is one where there's no power struggle going on. There's no fighting going on. There's no, and that fighting doesn't have to be out loud verbal. It can literally be like a mental game when the two people walk in the room and it's who can out talk who, or maybe I have to present a certain way for their approval. You know what I'm talking about. You've been in power struggle relationships before. All of us have. And so the idea is to recognize the role, to appreciate the role, and then ask yourself, is this role still serving me? Is this still something I want to show up in the same capacity? Because if the relationship is troubling to you, then the only one, and I've said this on many shows, that you're essentially got control over is you. There's no changing them. It's only going to be about changing you. And so taking a look at the role and asking yourself, oh, okay, maybe the role needs redefined, or oh, I'm okay with this role. I needed to remind myself that I'm the mama, or I needed to remind myself that I am the boss. I'm not the coworker that I'm able to go hang out and have coffees with them and think everything's going to be okay. Oh, that's right. Okay, I got to remind myself of that. Or, oh, yeah, I do need to remind myself I'm an entry-level employee. I'm not a boss yet. So I might need to watch my, cross my T's, dot my I's a little bit longer before I get all the benefits of being the boss. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes reminding ourselves what our role is, which can also provide a little bit of humility and kind of keeping us straight with ourselves, because sometimes, we get a little bit too big for our britches. Or we've decided, here's one you might do. You've decided that you're ready for a new experience in this relationship, but you haven't communicated that. So the other person is still playing along, doing what they think their role is. The one that you both have been silently agreeing, you should listen to the show on silent agreements. The silent agreements that you guys have been having, they're still playing along. And so you've decided that it needs to change, but you failed to communicate that to them. And now they're showing up the same way, and you're asking yourself, what's going on here? What's going on here? I don't get it. All right. So when we're looking at relationships that we are addicted to, essentially what I'm talking about is we have become, and this is some terms that we will use in recovery, obsessed with another person's behavior to the point of uncomfortableness on a regular basis. And that obsession is now consuming us. I love this topic because I think this shows up a lot of times in couples who live together. And I think this shows up, gosh, it can really show up anywhere, quite honestly. But couples, married couples, couples who are living together, parents, children, especially parents of teenagers, becoming overly obsessed with the teenager's behavior. Becoming overly obsessed with your spouse's behavior in the relationship. You might experience it at work. If every time you go into work and this one person is just always disappointing you, you might have a little bit of obsession. Why is their lack of involvement or over-involvement annoying you so much so often? Taking a look at where that obsession is lying. When you're sitting at home and you're on the couch and your honey's getting ready to come in the door, are you already obsessing about how you think they're going to behave and when they're going to behave? Are you already thinking three steps ahead just to find out if you're going to position yourself a certain way for when they come in the house? Are you obsessing about the other parents in the house and how their behavior is with the kid? Are they saying doing it right? I don't like it when they say that. It makes me feel uncomfortable. So now I got to react, or maybe I should stay out of it. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. Do you have that coming up for you in your life? And if you do, then there's a sense that you are addicted to the behaviors of another person. And let me just put this out there for you. It's not going to deal with them and their behaviors. The change has to come from within you. And that can be very challenging for people to understand sometimes. And yes, in partners and agreements of partnerships, if both people are willing to make a change, there can be a tremendous amount of communication around this. I see it happen all the time in couples coaching that I do, where people can really come to the mat and say, hey, we've got this thing going on. But really, the ownership and the responsibility is always going to come down to you. I say it on every single show I do. I am not going to be easy on you. I am not going to let you think that you don't have a part to play, because at the end of the day, it's only going to be you. And if you got a higher power, when you cross over, when this life is done, it's just going to be you. There's going to be nobody sitting there holding your hand, theoretically. You are responsible for your life. You are responsible for the energy in your life that you bring. You are responsible for the relationships that you bring into your life. And you're absolutely responsible for your emotional reaction and response to those relationships. Nobody's going to be able to do it for you. Like I said earlier in the show, I am not talking about situations that do require therapy and where there is PTSD and that there has been trauma and there has been abuse. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about day-to-day living. And in fact, in this addictive to relationships topic, which is going to just align with codependency behaviors, right? Where we are taught that ultimately we are the only one we have control of. We are the only one we have control of. So that is why I keep leaning on you. Who's triggering you? What's triggering it? What is your role in that relationship? Are you struggling? Is there a power struggle in? It may not even be on their radar, by the way. This power struggle might just be going on in between your ears. Trust me, I've had many power struggles with people in recovery that they don't even know about. I call those my imaginary conversations that I'm winning, and nobody's hearing but me. But there's a power struggle going on. I have decided that somebody is on my nerves. And instead of confronting it, communicating it, or getting to the bottom of it, I will have to chew on that for a while. And I will have to have my own little inner dialogue power struggle. Yeah, you think this Know You're Crazy show came out of nowhere. It didn't. It came out of sheer experience. So, obsession, illusion, and delusion are words we use in recovery. And obsession, I've explained. Illusion is thinking that if I think this way, if I create this story this way, then I will feel better. And the delusion is the same, it's right in the same ballpark of that. The delusion is this is actually a problem sometimes. The delusion is your story that you're telling that the other person may not have any idea about. You might be feeling, or you may be giving up on this person. You have a strain of thoughts, string of thoughts, a string of thoughts that you are having concerning this relationship, and the other person isn't even aware of it. It's a delusion. It's all been between your ears. Do they have behaviors that may be contributing to it? Yeah, they might, but what are you gonna do about that? You gonna get inside their body and change them? No, you're not. So obsession, illusion, and delusion. Okay, I'm gonna wrap up on one more point before I go to break. I'm gonna take a break here in a minute. I'm gonna wrap up on this, and then I'm gonna come back, and we're gonna be talking about solution, and we're gonna even more. So how do you get over this? Okay, before I do that, I want you to think about transactional relationships versus authentic relationships. This kind of hits on the role playing, but transactional relationships are relationships where one or the other person is always receiving and taking, leaving the other person in a state of always feeling like they're constantly giving and getting nothing in return. In a therapist client role, it's absolutely transactional. In a coaching client role, it's absolutely transactional. Those are relationships that are set up literally transactions, right? And hopefully you bond with the style of the person, the method of the person, not even the person, but the methods that they use, the style in which they put out there, because that is going to be a successful transactional relationship. However, If you have a transactional relationship in your life, this can happen in a parent-child scenario. Adult child's always coming for money. Parent feels that it's attention. They get some strings attached or whatever, so they give the money. So there's a transaction that's constantly coming back and forth. And pretty soon, that's pretty much all the relationship is a transactional relationship. Or the parent wakes up one day and is like, you know what? Seems like the only time they call is when they need something. Transactional relationship. Doesn't mean the parent doesn't have a role in that or they didn't create that. I'm just pointing out that may be a transactional relationship. Some transactional relationships are absolutely appropriate. The ones I just named, employer, employee, things like that. But in a personal, intimate relationship, if it's transactional, it's not going to feel good. And what happens is it goes from being authentic and loving and 50-50 to suddenly transactional. And I'm not talking transactional just only in the monetary sense. What about an emotional transactional relationship? Have you ever been the one that is like emotionally, oh, here we go. You are the one who emotionally carries the burden for the relationship and you're tired. The other parties don't seem to bring it. You know what I mean? They don't seem to bring it. You are emotionally burdening the relationship. They call, it's usually you're being the cheerleader, you're being the one, and then suddenly it just doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work anymore. Sometimes if you're in that role where it's become an emotional burden, I would strongly encourage you to look at codependency a little bit more. And I've got videos on codependency to give some insight into that. Okay, a little bit longer than I planned on going before I go to break, but I'm going to go to break. If you are interested in coaching, couple coaching, individual coaching, or you're looking for somebody to come in and help your team get on the same page about communication patterns within the team and how that shows up, feel free to reach out to me on my website at susandene.com. You can always shoot me an email. We'd be more than happy to go over some things with you and schedule a complimentary strategy session for any of those. Be more than happy to be of service. But having said that, we're going to go to break now. And when we come back, I will be covering solutions for the rest of the show for when you are needing to withdraw from an addictive relationship. Be back shortly. It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Know You're Crazy,
crazy.
With me, Susan Dene. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDene.com. That's DENEE.com.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
It's what the world has been waiting for and needing for a really long time. Introducing you to Maximize Your Healing Power by Dr. Sharon Martin, available now. This book takes you on an empowering journey that teaches you how to have control over your own health, bridging the divide between Western medicine and shamanic practices of energy healing. Order today and get a free bundle of gifts from Dr. Sharon Martin and several of her partners. For more information, visit drsharonmartin.com.
Need relief from chronic conditions? Mountains of Hope retreats help you take charge of your health. Nutrition and cutting-edge modalities reset your body, mind, and spirit. Our medically supervised detoxes complement any conventional treatments. Nestled in the Andes Mountains, our caring staff will show you the utmost care from day one. Reserve your spot today. at mountainsofhope.com.
What if you...
Everyone, welcome back. You are listening to the Know You're Crazy show. My name is Susan Dene, and this is Emotional Recovery in the Raw. Today's topic, how do you withdraw from addictive relationships? If you've been hanging around for the first half hour of this show, I have talked about everything from what is addictive relationships, what do they look like, how do I get triggered by another person's behavior, what is the role that I am playing within this relationship? Do I need to revisit that role that I'm playing in this relationship? What else did I talk about? Transactional relationships versus authentic relationships. Did it change? And most importantly, what are you doing to contribute to the relationship that is leaving you in a state of obsession, illusion, and delusion regarding the status of that relationship in your life? You know, if you have a relationship in your life that is causing more discomfort than comfort, then folks, I just got to tell you, it's time to take a look at you. And as much as I'm smiling when I say that, I know it's not a smiling matter all the time for us when we have to do it. In fact, it's quite uncomfortable. But I got to tell you, the relief that's on the other side of that, once you learn how to do that effectively, it's tremendous, and it's worth doing the work. The whole world shifts sometimes when we make a little, it'll seem like a little shift in a relationship, but when we learn to clear up the energy within us and get truthful with us and take responsibility for our emotional behaviors, it's really quite transformative. It really, really is. Okay, so now we've got the rest of the show to go. I'm going to try to stay on topic with what are the solutions to this? I've hinted at some of it in the first half of the show, and so there'll be a little bit of a repeat with that on these, but now I'm going to really just kind of push in, what are the solutions? I'm so glad I'm getting the solutions earlier in the show. Usually I'm in the solutions like the last 10 minutes, and I just feel like I never set aside enough time, so here we go. Okay, when the story is written in stone, how can you change it? Practicing a new story with this person. Number one, why should you? Well, you should practice a new story because the one that you got right now isn't working for you. It doesn't leave you feeling fulfilled. In fact, it's leaving you feel frustrated. So it's time to change the story. How do you create a new story? There's simple things that you can do as far as, you know, I could say to you, well, why don't you just look at him in a different way? And you might look at me like, what? I can't. I don't see them that way. They're really frustrating me right now. They've continued this one thing over and over and over, and it's not changing. And so at that point, how the story begins to change is how you perceive you within the relationship. And that's kind of where I'm going to start segueing for this part of the solution. Yes, I talked about it needs to be starting with you, but what exactly does that mean? Well, first of all, there has to be an acknowledgement for you about where you end and they begin. What I mean is, instead of obsessing consistently about how they're disappointing you or how they're not doing this one thing with you enough or whatever that is, shift that and start asking yourself, where in here do I, you know, where's the dividing point for when I stop really having a fulfilling experience with myself in this relationship, but now I'm starting to depend on them to fulfill me. I'm just going to let that sit there for a second. When did I decide to stop being responsible for my own fulfillment within this relationship, and instead I placed the responsibility on them to fulfill me? Where do I end and where do they begin? How am I complementing this relationship? Or am I depending on this relationship to bring me balance and to make me feel better? Okay. What I'm doing is the next piece of the solution. So one, number one is you're going to look at the story. What is the story? You're going to have an acknowledgement. I need to acknowledge where I'm at and where this dividing line is if I can find it. You know, what's going to happen is you may not have an answer for that, but it's going to start putting you in a new way of looking at this relationship that's going to be about you taking responsibility for your own emotional reactions and your own, I don't know if this is a good way to put it, emotional thinking about the relationship, right? Because if we're all crazy about a relationship, when I say crazy, like resentful, you got some emotion behind that thing, right? You know, if we didn't, we wouldn't be all crazy about it. We wouldn't be all bent out of shape. We wouldn't be consumed with it. We wouldn't be obsessed with it. There's a lot of emotion actually going on there. And so what this is going to do is I'm going to start training you to ask questions about yourself. And the more questions you ask, the more inquisitiveness that you, that you become about yourself in this relationship, the more peace and satisfaction then you're going to start having. And why is that? Because you take the responsibility off them and you take the responsibility of their behaviors off them to make you happy. You start understanding that, oh, I have a say in this. I have a say in how I feel in this relationship. Oh, that's right. That's right. I take my power back. Nobody, by the way, was asking you to give them their power. No, nobody used it on, hey, I want your power. Nobody's saying that. We voluntarily surrender our power to a relationship the moment we make them responsible for making us happy. That's what we do. And when we turn the tables on ourselves and we turn around, we remind ourselves, oh, that's right. I can take my power back. I can take my power back. I can start to feel fulfilled. Oh, you know what else I could do? I could actually learn to say things in a different way. I could learn to effectively communicate how I'm thinking and feeling with somebody. How would that work? Because a lot of times when we've fallen into that presumptuous stage, we have not communicated anything. Or we've communicated it in a way where that role thing's been conflicted, you know, where the parent's feeling needy for the child, but the parent's really the mama. And so the child's picking up on that and they don't respect that. And so there has to be some work around the role identification, like what is my role here, you know? And so that might be some of it. But once you start understanding that there's some power that you can take back in this relationship and you start becoming responsible about, okay, I guess I'm not really that good at communicating. Okay, where am I being passive aggressive in this relationship? Am I rolling my eyes? Am I coming in the room and I've got intensity about me? Yeah, I guess when they pull up to the house after a long day at work, I am already kind of twisted about what they're going to do when they walk in the door. I haven't even seen it yet. I do assume that. Yeah, when my kid walks in the door, I actually am already planning on nailing them about the fact I know they didn't do their homework. I'm not even giving them the benefit of the doubt anymore. In fact, I see failure when they walk through the door. I guess I've kind of got some of this going on. And so essentially what I'm advocating for you right now is that you take on an observer role of your own behavior. Now, if you are prone to, I'm just going to say it like I think it. I'm just going to say, if you are prone to, I'm a piece of shit on a regular basis, if that's kind of an inner dialogue with you, be careful in this area. Because when you become the observer, this isn't about self-beat up. This isn't about looking for a trophy to hang your pity on, okay? That's not what this is about. This is about you being able, I always like to say, imagine you're up in the sky, if I'm working with a client, imagine you're up here and you're just observing the household. You're observing, you know, I'd say it's a family thing, husband, wife thing, kid thing, I don't know. You're just observing. That's all you're doing is observing. You're watching. And you're seeing all the actors and the actresses kind of play their part. You're completely detached from it. You're not owning the behavior. You're not, you know, you're just watching it like you would a movie. Do you own actors' behaviors on a TV show? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Same thing, same idea. So you become an observer of your behavior. And this is not to hang yourself up on it, all right? This is to allow yourself to take a step back and really become just curious. How did this relationship get here? How has it been affecting me? Like, when I really look back, I had a situation come up a week ago where I had let go of a client, and this was years ago. And this client had said something to me about, oh, I'm so glad we overcame that. And I thought, I didn't say this, but I thought, well, I never had anything really to overcome. I was good. But I could appreciate why they felt that way. You know, like I could appreciate it. But what I did was I kind of got to reflect back and ask myself, what was going on in my life back then? Like, I kind of a surreal perspective on what was really going, you know, what was going on with me? Was I in a good place back then? And really, when I tiptoed back and I looked at it from a completely detached perspective, what I realized was I was actually under a lot of pressure professionally, intimately. There was a lot going on. And now it all made sense why I had made the decision to end that client relationship. And so it all kind of like, oh, okay. So that's what I'm talking about is sometimes if you want to learn more about yourself or if you want to learn how this relationship is going to be in your life, you really have to look at it from an observer perspective. And that's why the more questions that you ask, the better off you are. Okay. The more questions that you ask, the better off of you are. So far, identify the relationship, take a look at what triggers it. And when I say that, time of the day, is it, you know, only in this particular situation with this person? Is it when this person says a certain thing or two? What is it? Just kind of take a look at it. Number three, what is your role in that relationship? Is it a 50-50 role? Is it a transactional role? Is this a paid for service role? Is it not? Is it one that's coming emotionally transactional versus authentic and 50-50? Sometimes friendships can tip over in that way, right? And that gets uncomfortable. So you're going to take a look at the role. And then you're going to ask yourself, what is the story I've been telling myself? Because you're identifying, you've been presumptuous a little bit. You've stopped giving the other person benefit of the doubt. You realize you've had some obsession, illusion, and delusion going on with the relationship. You can't quite get it out of your head some days. It makes you feel uncomfortable for long periods. Okay, so there's the story. And now you're going to start asking questions. Well, how long has this been going on? What is my, all this question, what is my role? How long has this been going on? What exactly do I bring into the relationship? And you start becoming the observer, okay? You start becoming the observer. I guarantee you, if you begin doing that work, and I will always advocate, work with somebody around this. If you've got a mentor in your life, this is great. If you've got a life coach in your life, this is a great place to practice this. Maybe even a therapist, if this might be a therapeutic thing, maybe if they'd work with you on it. But really have somebody in your life that you can talk to about this or do some journaling. Journaling is a great way to see yourself on paper. I know so many people are like, oh, I hate journaling. Okay, just get over it. Type it out if you want. But just journaling and getting that stream of consciousness flowing will really help you. All right, so the rest of the show, I'm going to wrap up on a topic that's I'm very passionate about, which is all in the same arena. I'm going to give the analogy that I teach. I've actually got a book that I'm working on right now on this. So it's called The Emotional Jacket. I've done a show on this before. You can listen to a prior show if you'd like, but it really fits in this category because essentially, I'll just walk you through the analogy. I'll tell you the story. If you've heard it before, you can just hang in there. Okay. Working with the client for a long time. I was working with her probably 7 or 8 years. She came from it wasn't a client, it was a sponsee of mine in recovery. And this was years ago. And she had an alcoholic husband and she had some kids that were crazy. Sometimes the disease affects us like that. You know, we're coming up, we've got these family scenarios. And she was just obsessed with the husband's behavior and his drinking. And sometimes it'd be her kids too. And they were always, she was a real bulldozer, you know, I just loved her for it. And she was completely obsessed over and over and over. And so one day I was working with her and it just came to my mind. I said, you know, I want you to imagine you've got this really nice leather jacket hanging in a closet. You know, I think of like a really cool, badass leather jacket. It's hanging in the closet. And you walk in the house and you know it's not your jacket to wear, but you see it in the closet and you're like, that's a nice jacket. I think I want to wear that jacket. And so you put this jacket on and you're walking around in it and it feels real good for a while, for a while. Now, intuitively, consciously, common sense, you know this isn't your jacket, but you wear it anyway. But after a while in wearing this jacket, you start understanding this thing don't fit you. It ain't your jacket. In fact, it's heavy. It doesn't fit you right. And then you start getting angry that you put on this jacket. You're kind of mad at yourself a little bit, but you know who you're really mad at? You're mad at the person who hung the damn jacket in the closet. You're mad that they've hung their jacket in your closet and now you chose to put it on and you're so livid about it. And so now you struggle to get this jacket on and you can't quite figure it out. The zipper doesn't work, the buttons, but you're trying real hard to get this jacket off because now you've slathered yourself in it and it's super uncomfortable. You finally get the jacket off. You throw it in the closet. And you swear you're never going to put it on again. But the next day, you start thinking about that jacket. You start thinking, oh, maybe I could wear it today. And you kind of mosey over to the closet, you look at it, you think, oh, maybe I'll put on that jacket. But you know you shouldn't, but you can't stop thinking about it. You start obsessing about the jacket. The emotional jacket, what I'm explaining to you is that's what it's like when you put on another person's emotions. They're not yours to put on. Their life isn't yours to wear. It's not your jacket. And the sooner that you start to understand how to remove that emotional jacket, the more peaceful you're going to become. You ain't got no business putting on somebody else's emotional jacket. But we're all codependent to a certain degree. You know, it doesn't matter. We're all codependent to a certain degree. And so, usually, where we slip up at or when we become uncomfortable is when we're wearing around a jacket that's not ours to wear. Sometimes we'll wear our husband's jacket. Sometimes we'll wear our kids' jackets. Sometimes we'll wear our employers' jackets. Sometimes we're more worried about their behavior than they are, and we don't understand why that is. You're wearing their jacket. Everybody's got their own jacket to wear. Everybody's going to have their own experience with their wardrobe. It's not mine to say what that's going to be for them. But when I slip up and I put that jacket on, it starts to feel real damn comfortable until it doesn't. And that was the conversation with that woman that day. Because she was wearing that alcoholic husband's jacket. She was wearing those kids' jackets. She'd be wearing everybody's jacket. Couldn't understand why she wasn't happy. And so, the tools that I'm giving you today in regards to addictive relationships, and I'm talking about when you're addicted to the relationship of your partner, kid, boss, whoever's behavior, and you are the one suffering about the obsession about why they won't change quick enough, fast enough, or why, that in and of itself is the addiction. And when you become obsessed, you're wearing their jacket. That's why I'm wrapping up the show with that analogy, is to give you some type of visual that this is what's going on with you when you become super uncomfortable with another person's behavior. So another fancy way of describing codependency when it's gone crazy, right? But the goal is to learn how not to put on the jacket. That is the ultimate goal, is how to learn how to leave that jacket in the closet with the door shut, with respect, without obsession, without illusion, without delusion, because at the end of the day, it's never about the jacket being out of the closet. It's just about you learning how not to put it on. And once you understand that, you become so peaceful and in harmony within your relationships that it doesn't matter whose jacket's hanging around you, because see, now you understand. But I can give you a playbook all day long. But if you are unwilling to look within and what your triggers are with putting that jacket on, you're going to keep putting on people's jackets. That's the gist of it. So, having said that, I am a certified coach in high performance. I have two programs. It's High Performance Academy, high performance coaching. Executives love that. Medical organizations love that. Couples like individual people like high performance coaching. And then the other program is my program that I'm passionate about, and that's emotional elevation. And so that coaching program is 12 sessions where we start talking about agreements. If I'm doing one-on-one coaching, I'm going to be talking to you about agreements with self. I'm going to be talking to you about what your values are within yourself today, who you are today, not who you were yesterday. We're going to look at communication patterns, how they work for you, how they don't work for you in your life. If you're a couple that decides to come to me for coaching, we're going to break it down on a couple level. We can make a decision of whether it's going to be high performance coaching as a couple or high performance coaching as individuals, both within 1 hour with me. That way, each partner gets to see what each of you are working on. Or we start with emotional elevation and then we transition into high performance coaching. And the reason why we would do it that way is because sometimes the relationship needs a little bit of a rehab, a mini rehab. Let's get back on the same page about our communication, what's working, what's not working. This is not therapy, folks. We're not going to get into big detail. Each party has to come willing to work. And then we just work, but it's pretty simple. It's really quite simple. It's about a couple different shifts in the relationship, a couple different strategies. You get you both on the same page through 12 sessions. It works fantastic. And then boom, they're ready to start doing goal setting. And that now we're off and running into the future with goal setting. It's really quite an exciting thing to do. If that is anything that sounds good to you in any of those arenas, please reach out to me at growthspurt@susandanae.com. You can also reach out to me on my website. I'm sure there's somewhere on there with my email address. I would be more than happy to work with you. And pricing and all that is subject to, am I talking to one person? Am I talking to two people? If you are a couple or an individual in recovery from addiction and alcoholism, I do give discounts for that. So feel free to reach out to me and talk about that. All right, guys, that is going to be a wrap for today. Hopefully you've got some new tools in your toolbox in regards to your relationships. If one's been burdensome for you, hopefully something that I shared today will be of service to you and that you have a much better experience. All right. Well, it's been good talking to you. Have a great night. Bye. You have been listening to Know You're Crazy.
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 And my name is Susan Danae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDanae.com. That's Susan Danae, DENEE.com.